Tim. And I told him, I have a son, Tim, also in his 20s. So Tim is right in front of you. And Tim brought his friend, Justine. Welcome. Good to be with you folks again. I think the last time I was here was in February. And I would like to show you some pictures of things that have happened since then, things that God has been doing. But before we do that, let's turn to God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are on the throne, irregardless of what we see happening in the world, what we see our enemy Satan is doing with his underlings, demonic things and so on. Lord, we thank you. You are on the throne and fully. And when leaders do things, political leaders do things that are in opposition to you and your word, we are reminded they are on a short tether. It will not last long. You've told us what happens in the future, and we look forward to a wonderful time with you. We know that time is running down, and according to your word, we are living in the end times, the last times. Thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne, and in the meantime, you are at work in men's lives, like Albert Tate and Rhoda, that came to the Lord. And Lord, we want to just see in your word, and also in pictures from today, how you are at work, in Jesus' name. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. I want to, if I had a whiteboard today, but I didn't bring it today, but if I had one, I would put on three words, and just thinking of God is at work, here are the three words. The Apostle Paul, he prevailed, he preached, and he prepared people for what's ahead. So he prevailed, he preached, and he prepared people. First of all, prevailing. Not giving up, not being pessimistic, oh, it's no use. No, there's none of that in Paul. Was it that there wasn't difficulty? Yes, there was. If we read chapter 20, verse 1, it says, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called to him the disciples. Let's just get a little background for that. What had just happened? If you look before to chapter 19, verse 23, I'll just wait for you to look there. Chapter 19, verse 23, it says, and at that time there arose no small stir about that way. This was a big thing that was happening, a big uproar. If we jump down to verse 32 of Acts 19, it says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, and the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. So there was a lot of confusion. If we go down to verse 36, seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. Rash things were taking place. That's why the uproar. Verse 40, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. Therefore, being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse, that means riotous crowd. I'm so glad that wherever I have preached so far in my life, I haven't had to deal with a riotous crowd or a riot or rash things or an uproar. Not even when we were doing street ministry, Timothy and I with some others in Vancouver, there was no uproar. We could peacefully share the word of God, preach it and sing it there on Granville Street. So back into chapter 20 now, that's the background for this uproar. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and he embraced them. And he departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. He is prevailing. He is continuing to embrace them. He is continuing to exhort them. Like it says, with much exhortation. He didn't slack off at all. He prevailed. And I just want to encourage you as a church, keep on prevailing here in Edmonton. I'm your advertisement for you. I tell people about you. keep on prevailing in the things of God. And do it together. I like what I see in verse 4. There accompanied him seven people. And I like seven. Like in the Bible, like there's 7 days and there's seven candlesticks and there's seven churches in Book of Revelation. There's lots of sevens. Many, like animals, certain ones went into the ark by sevens. Well, here's seven people that accompanied Paul. And they are named in verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater and Aristarchus. I love that guy, Aristarchus. My Bible school teacher taught me about him. He said he always would go along with Paul. He'd shadow Paul. Then when Paul dies, Aristarchus can take over, right? Or they can even do together. Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius and Timotheus, that's who Artem is named after, and Tychicus and Trophimus. Seven guys. Teamwork, hey? And I've been telling people, I used to farm and go to the reserve, but now I'm part of a mission. I'm part of a team. We have airplanes. We have tribal trails. We have print shop. We have a bunch of things. And it's just a privilege to be part of a team. So in your ministry, seek to be part of a team. It's good to do one-on-one ministry, but also do teamwork. Have people pray for you. You pray for others. Do things together. So they prevailed, even though it was a time of uproar. Second thing, preaching. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. Many people do not want to be preachy or to preach at people, but the Bible says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that Jesus went everywhere teaching and preaching. Do you want to be a follower? Are you a disciple of Jesus? He went everywhere preaching. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, went and preached. When we were running the Bible school, I taught a course called Teaching Methods. It was many, many, many methods I taught, but we had two on this topic. Many Bible schools do. They have a course on homiletics and a course on expository preaching, because God places extra emphasis on those two. So he preached, says verse 7, he preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Did you hear what I just read? He preached till midnight. I'm going to preach here till midnight. No, I'm just kidding. I'd love to keep you a long time, but I might get kicked out or not asked back. But let me tell you about Round Lake. When I went there in July as their speaker for their summer meetings, they said it starts at 7. So, okay. So 8 o'clock comes by, 9 o'clock comes by, 10 o'clock, I'm still not on. 10 o'clock comes by. At 20 to 11, they put me on. Do you think I preached till midnight? I didn't. But Paul did. I wonder how long he preached. I get to ask him in eternity, hey, in heaven. I wonder how long he preached. I know it was a long time, because look what it says, verse 8. And there were many lights, so it was after dark, in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. He preached so long that even the young guys fell asleep. And as Paul was long preaching, that's how I know he preached long. Bible says so. He preached a long time. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. I wonder how Paul felt when he goes over to the guy and the guy's not just lights out, like he's dead. Couple things here. Don't be miffed if Mr. Eduma, I'm not sure how to say the name, or Luke or Frank preach a long time, or even if they would preach till midnight. It's biblical. Hey, one of the greatest men of God in the Bible preached till midnight. Sometimes I think about this young guy. Why did he fall asleep? When we're asleep, we're missing out. We're losing out. Hey, in Acts chapter 11, in the communion passage there, it says, for this reason many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. May it not be said of any of you sitting here that you are asleep spiritually or physically when the word of God is imparted to you. Okay? May we be really alert and drinking it in and being thirsty for the preaching of the word, that we might be fed and bolstered up in our... Because the enemy, he's ruthless. He doesn't care if you're weak. He'll take you even if you're weak, right? So it's good if we're strong to stand for the Lord. So preaching, prevailing, preaching, and the last one, he prepared the people. Many ways he prepared them, mostly by his example. Here are some of them. In verse 20, and I know I've mentioned this before to you, of how he did not hold back anything, verse 20, but he modeled it and he taught them. And he showed them both publicly and from house to house. To me, that's 2020 vision. public ministry and from house to house. Really, really important. So he prepared them by demonstrating that to them. My question to you, are you doing ministry publicly, like whether it's at your Bible camp or at your coffee cafe thing? Are you doing ministry house to house? My dad, a farmer, modeled that to me. Go from home to home, both to farms and on the native community near us, about 20 miles away. He modeled that, going home to home for the purpose of sharing the gospel. Here's another thing of preparation in verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. No narcissism here. It's not about me or my life. He says, I don't count my life dear. God could take anything away, and Paul was still radiant, right? So what if we lose a family member to cancer, or we lose a vehicle, or we lose a home, or we lose a job, or whatever? He says, I don't count my life dear. So if I lose my life in serving you, Lord, it's okay. It is okay. And he meant it. He could say it to them eyeball to eyeball, and it was genuine. I don't count my life dear to me. Do you count your life dear to you, or your things dear to you? Or is everything on the altar for the Lord? Next one, jump down to verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, I think it's a take off of the book Ezekiel in the Old Testament, where he says, if I don't warn the unrighteous that they will have to stand before God on judgment day, then their blood is on my hands. And God says, Paul says, no one's blood will be on my hands. Whatever people group God brought me into contact with, I was faithful to share the word of God and the love of God with them. How about with us? Is there any people group that we would rather not talk to about God? We need to repent of that. God loves all people equally. He died for everyone. He's no respecter of persons. Another one, 27. And I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He didn't skip over hard passages. He was faithful to teach the word of God. And that's one thing I love about your church. You take a book of the Bible and you go through systematically. Keep on doing that. I tell others about you and that you do that. That's great. Keep that up. Another one, 28. These ones rhyme. Heed and feed. It says here, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So take heed. In other words, be very sober, be very vigilant. Because in Peter it says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So take heed, be watchful. I had a guy come and talk. Well, I phoned him, I guess, as we were traveling here. Evelyn said, you haven't phoned this guy for a while. So I phoned him, and he's a pastor. And he said, yeah, someone had come to their church, and he suspected it was like from a cult type background. And this person was taking over and wanting to take people and take them to that wrong teaching place. And this pastor was taking heed. And he said, John, I'm going to meet with one of my elders, that man, tonight. Could you pray for us? I said, yes. And so on this phone call, I said, so how did that go then? And he said how they had come to that meeting and they were trying to discern, and during or after the meeting, that God would show them what to do. And it came out very clearly where this person was at, and it would have been divisive and undermining the new believers there. And he was protecting the flock. And it's a hard thing for a shepherd to step on people's toes, but sometimes a shepherd has to. And this man did, and he spared the flock. Heed, that's heed. And the next one was feed. It says, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Christ paid the ultimate price, the shed blood of Christ. He paid the highest price that could be paid. Is that not worth feeding those people? It certainly is. So we need to be in the word of God, feeding ourselves so we can feed others. That's another thing I like about the assemblies, is the men are doing the preaching, they are in the word, learning, and then feeding. Keep that up. Never let that go. 29. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So he's warning about people coming in. Wolves, but in sheep's clothing. They look like a Christian, but they're not really. They haven't repented. They don't believe the word of God. They are undermining the work of God. And also from your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Even from within what looks Christian, Paul says, watch out, like be vigilant, be careful. Verse 31, therefore, like on account of all this, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day. It wasn't just one warning, but warning and warning and warning, year after year after year, with tears coming down. Be careful of that. Don't give in to that. You'll be sucked into what the devil wants. Rather, give in to the Lordship of Christ. Follow the Holy Spirit. Be walking in close communion with Him. And He pled with them and He urged them. And He went by His example and He said, remember, for 3 years I did this. And the last one is in 33. And I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. The lure of money or clothes or others' possessions was not upon him. Many people of God have fallen through immorality or the love of money. Paul warned them of this. Okay? So it's a warning to us to be careful of that. So God was at work even in uproarious times, riotous times, and God was using his people to prevail and to preach and to prepare others for kingdom work and for getting ready to meet the Lord and bringing others with us into eternity, into heaven. I want to show you some pictures. So if somebody can darken the lights.
Just close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this the challenge of your word and your work, and even as we think of the enormity of the work, Lord, we're encouraged by how there is no obstacle to your word, and you have your people at work. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that your work here, your work in Northern Canada, your work everywhere. And Lord, we just want to lift that up to you. We pray for John and Evelyn and the Northern Canada Evangelical Mission and the work they do. And Lord, challenge us to be more faithful in supporting the work wherever it might be, wherever you bring it to mind to us. So Lord, thank you for this day. And dismiss us now to your work into the fields around us, as we pray in Jesus' name.